Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It is Friday night, 11/27/2020. And here we go. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all of his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters and all his bands, and the many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, and thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass, that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil, and to take a prey, and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Oh, do you think that might be sort of west of the Mississippi and east of the Rockies, something like that? The Great Plains, that could very well be, huh? So at the same time, now let me tell you, I'm going to talk to you about something that's heard today from a lot of people. If you know anybody who's a real ham or a signal intelligence person, they will have already been on the story. Now, today, I got word early in the afternoon that there was a signal that was up and being heard by just about everybody in the United States and probably North America and Central America, etc. Extremely powerful signal. And it was on 8.8972 on the high frequency, the HF shortwave. It basically was a 16-channel multiplex signal. And this is not usual because it sounded like, you remember the War of the Worlds movie? You know, like a weird metallic sounds and strange kind of sounds like Martians invading or something like that. That is what the signal sounded like. Now, 16-channel multiplex signal about 8972. Now, in terms of looking at the signal, at first we thought, man, this is powerful. This is coming down from up above from space or from an aircraft. But basically, I found that as guys started to work this thing, and some real good people started to work it, that there is a little fade, which means it's bouncing off the ionosphere. And then as the triangulation started to be looked at and pressed and proceeded with, and all the analysis done on all of the spectrum analyzers all across the United States in the hands of real good smart hams and old-time signal intelligence, boys and girls. And I'll tell you what, this War of the World signal, We started looking at it, and early on, my deep background source in the signal intelligence world told me that he thought possible that's coming from Venezuela or somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico or somewhere like that. I asked the question. I said, well, is it possibility that it might be in outer space? He said, well, at first I thought it might, but not necessarily. And it looks like it's coming from there. And then I said, could it be coming from the Baja? I knew where there were a lot of Chinese subs have been hanging out the Baja. Said possibly, and at the time we didn't know. Well, as other signal intelligence people started to triangulate this signal, and yes, I'm going to tell you why it's important in a minute, okay? I just heard somebody say, well, what the heck are you talking about all this for, okay? Because it's a wartime thing, okay? It is the wartime high probability of a signal from an enemy nation, not from the U.S. Pentagon or from some, you know, group, right? It's likely Chinese, Russian, Iranian, or all combined, okay? Now, here's the deal. When they start to triangulate, they triangulate it for some source in like the South Atlantic, Caribbean, Gulf of Mexico, where all that sort of meets. I then posed the question to my learned deep background source. I said, could this be from Lourdes, L-O-U-R-D-E-S, the signal intelligence base in Cuba? He said, well, by golly, it sure could. And I said, or perhaps from a Russian ship or a Chinese ship that has gone out of Havana Harbor or is, you know, somewhere in there nearing the thing, and they can be utilizing a nuclear power source perhaps to put out a big signal, or using onshore power plants with a cable to do the same. He said, yeah, that could very well be. So that's a possibility, this possibly coming from Lourdes in Cuba. The Looney balloons also have been in that area, the last one that we saw up. Now, I think what's interesting is, and I'm just going to state it as a speculation, that what old Hawk has been doing and making the alleged Google balloons, which are really red Chinese allegedly launched balloons that they've been using for command and control over the United States to give orders and relay stuff and to maybe to move saboteurs around in the United States, talk to all their buddies in the, you know, cook in the kitchens of the red Chinese restaurants. You know what I'm saying? So the triangulation puts this somewhere in South Atlantic, Caribbean Gulf, that area down in there. Well, I'm going to tell you, that is also the area where if anybody's going to Venezuela, any ships or anything going there are going to have to be seen and what have you. Now, why is that important? Because the Iranians put missiles, their missiles, which are good missiles, because the Chinese gave them technology, the Russians gave them technology. And the Iranians also, back in 2004 and 5, when I was yelling at people to get the four aircraft carriers out of the Persian Gulf, because back then Iran had 110 Super Sunburn missiles, which the Aegis system back then on the ships could not handle. They also had 110 French Exocet missiles, either of which could carry nuke tips, which they had nuclear devices or warheads. Some they bought on the market, okay? And some that they had with the Russian missile troops there in Iran, which at the same time were selling them the S-400, not the 300, okay? They trained people on their 400. But let's just say Russians only gave them the 300. That means 300 miles out from the Persian Gulf, they basically own the airspace with their missile systems. So that was back then. Finally, somebody heard the old Hawk and said, you know what? Well, by George, we better move them out of there. And they did. Because what we said was true, because they could have nailed them. Even old Dick Cheney was trying to have a group allegedly clandestine special operations troops to pose as an Iranian fast boat with a nuclear device on it, or, you know, possibly a missile with one, to fire it into and hit one of our ships, so that back then Darth Dove Hunter could go to make sure to go to war against Iran. Well, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be gone to war against, or that events may not happen where they won't be gone to war against, or they don't go to war against us. But I'm just telling you about the times. I'm telling you about the times that we're in right now. So this is the high probability of an enemy signal. Now, as well as a 16-channel multiplex signal at 8972, which is not a normal U.S. frequency used, all right? And what that particular signal is not something that anybody I know would ascribe to the U.S. military. So the fact is, this could be Red Chinese, Russian, Iranian, you know, and that's about the size of that. So they also did a very interesting, they did from 8972 up to about 91 or 92, somewhere in there. They did a real quick, burst transmission on all these frequencies. Boop, 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 boop. A real quick burst transmission that where it went up and down on the frequencies. And in order to receive that, you would have to have the specialized hardware that was attuned to those frequencies and to that particular signal. Now, why is that interesting? Well, we are sending the USS Nimitz carrier group from the Indian Ocean, which is down here, which is where they started basing the carrier groups after the Persian Gulf, after about 205, I screamed and yelled and yelled, and they did take them out of there. They usually kept maybe one in there or one right outside, you know, in the Indian Ocean. Sometimes they would have two in the Indian Ocean. But the fact of the matter is, they did it. So now the Nimitz is going back in to the P Gulf and into the Hormuz, straight to Hormuz, all right, with their carrier group. Now that would involve Arleigh Burke-class destroyers, cruisers, all kind of smaller boats, intelligence ships, submarines, all kind of stuff. Supply vessels, you know, all kind of different things. So then here we go. We got the Nimitz going back in, and we also have what? We have, let me just cue it up so I can get the name right. We got, let's see here. Mohsen Bakhrizadeh was assassinated today by terrorists. The Iranian ministry wrote in a statement not blaming any specific entity for the incident. Now, this is per Jerusalem Post. Well, this guy, Mohsen Bakhrizadeh, 59 years old, and he, according to the Israelis, in the paperwork that the Mossad, or the Sayeret Maktal, perhaps, special operators out there, were able to peel out of Iran back in those days, that Netanyahu, a few years back, read some of the information about the Iranian nuclear missile or nuclear warhead program, nuclear war program. Well, this Bakhrizadeh, this Mohsen guy, and they took out his bodyguard car and the, you know, and his car and blew him up and then fired on him. So that is the trick on that. Well, he was the guy in charge of the entire nuclear program to make the nuclear weapons for Iran and to greatly step up the production of high-grade uranium here, which is ongoing as we speak. So that is a step in the right direction in terms of taking out the chief guy, scientist, in charge of Iran's nuclear program. not for peaceful nukes, but for nukes to put on the missiles that they already put into Venezuela. Now, for those of you who listen to the program a long time, you'll remember back at a certain point in time where daily the Iranian Airlines, has a daily one, two, three flights a day back and forth from Caracas, Venezuela, and other spots in Venezuela to back to Iran. And you remember back, this has probably been, 2007 maybe. Don't remember the exact year, but 2006, 2007, somewhere in there, maybe 2008, that there was a situation where nuclear warheads came over on the Iranian plane into Venezuela, and then they were then taking Venezuela through the jungle. They were taking them up into Colombia, and they were going to blow up some stuff in Colombia, perhaps. Well, as you recall back then, we talked about the fact that that was then became a little rumble in the jungle, you know what I'm saying? And where those nuclear warheads were on the paths through the jungle going up into Colombia, and they were taken out by some very capable MMV, the Mighty Men of Valor, who came in and took them out and grabbed those nuclear devices and got rid of them out of that area. But the fact is that recently there was the Iranian planes going through, fueling in Tunisia and going on to Venezuela, were taking missiles. There's also the possibility they had nukes on board. But even if they don't, you've got the Red Chinese, in port and doing stuff there, and they have agreements with Venezuela, obviously, and are paying for a lot of their freight. And then you got the Russians who sold the Venezuelans a whole lot of armaments, and also were using back in the Chavez days, the La Orquilla, Isla Orquilla, the presidential island, which had the old Nazi submarine pen up underneath it, and they were using that and had Russian subs going in there. I'm sure Chinese subs can go in too now. Maybe Iranian subs can come right on in, because they could have brought the nuclear weapons underneath the water and brought them up right into La Orquilla, flown them over from the presidential island to missile silos and sites in Venezuela. Now, why is that important? Because they could hit the United States with a hypersonic missile in about 3-4 minutes. So this is why this is a big deal. I think, and here's what I think about it, my analysis is, the 16-channel multiplex signal at 8972, which then did burst transmissions up a couple hundred, numbers on the dial up into it from 8972 to about 9140 or 42, something like that, that this sounds like preparation for war, maybe War of the Worlds or a world war. And then who would the Red Chinese be talking to? Well, all I can tell you is every Red Chinese-oriented Chinese restaurant in the United States. And even if they are loyal American citizens who own the restaurant, they always get cooks over from the old country, don't they? And those guys all sit back at the back table right by the door to the kitchen. And they're always young guys, and they're always talking in Chinese. And you look over the table, and they give you the hard look like they're some kind of Red Chinese Jet Li commando, okay? Jet Li. As in the Li family, you see? Now, at the same time, we had all of this going on in the very same kind of era. Do you remember when I was telling you about a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, about an odd accident on a bridge over the river at Cincinnati, over the Ohio, on what I believe on the 275 or 175, whatever it is, the bridge that goes from Kentucky over in the river and all of that. And it's an up and down, you know, it's got an upper deck and a lower deck and all that kind of stuff. And you remember we were talking about that this was the same bridge that a number of years ago that thing collapsed. And at the time, there was eyewitnesses for somebody being seen there prior to that, and that they also heard an explosion. You remember that? Well, that bridge then was repaired, and then now it's been taken out. What they found is they had this truck, a semi-truck, and then some kind of a weird box truck, and that the semi had all this gasoline on it. The weird box truck had some kind of a explosive, volatile chemical on it, and there was some kind of an accident right on top of the bridge. That thing exploded into a giant, real hot fire, chemical fire, and melted the steel girders in the road underneath, and also caused part of that to fall down on the lower deck, all right? So they had to shut that down. Then, in order to come over, you had to use the old bridge, the old, you know, metal bridge that was a lot smaller and rickety, if you know what, want to know the truth. And so now the amount of traffic that went onto that made that bridge rickety, and then it's been this problem is that a lot of people in Cincinnati Metro have had to drive 60, 65 miles clear around to get home, where normally it might be 10 or 15 minutes. Now, that's the scenario I've already talked about. Now, a couple nights ago, somebody reported on a bridge that's, I think, north of town or north of the metro, where it's sort of like over there, and I don't have the map right here, sort of over a Miami River tributary or something like that, or some kind of a large, you know, tributary, waterway, creek, river, small river, that kind of stuff. And that there was eyewitness apparently saw, and get this, listen up, law enforcement, or better yet, listen up, peace officers, good sheriffs, good deputies, good local PDs, who call yourselves peace officers, and who are not with China Joe and Commissar Kamala, all right? This bridge over this water area, or over this small area or small river, this bridge apparently, and I think it was on I-75 also, this bridge had evidence of somebody using cutting torches on girders underneath the bridge. Cutting torches on the steel girders. Now, were they going to have some kind of a thing that they would then blow and then collapse that bridge? And you remember when I first brought this up on the other, I said to you, hey, this looks like they're trying to maybe cut off the metro area from other areas. Maybe cut off Wright-Patterson, which is a high technology, highest level technology, one of the bases in the United States that has the most high technology, and deep underground, where some of the little green men and some of the spacecraft have been buried and been tested and are in hangars and stuff. Hangar 18, all that kind of stuff. And then they can fly in and out from deep underground runways and stuff, and it's huge. Well, anyway, let's suppose they were in trouble and somebody was trying to get at some of the real good stuff, and they could not be reinforced or helped by troops from, say, Lexington, depot, or from the Fort Campbell, Kentucky, or from Fort Knox, you know, to come over. And then go up there. They would have difficulty going across the rivers to get there to go up north towards Wright Pad at Dayton. Now, this is very interesting because this girder thing took place a couple nights ago. Well, then also at the same time, there was an odd accident of a wrong way driver. And then supposedly that there was a semi-truck involved. But then they changed that. The sketchy reports changed that to a box truck of some sort, an odd box truck. But then apparently there was about like 8 people injured and some killed and that kind of stuff. But there's been very little reporting on it at all. and it supposedly involved some kind of a stolen car, but the perpetrator in the stolen car took off. They can't find him. I started thinking about that when I was being told that, and it reminded me of sort of like the part of the book The Day of Wrath by William R. Forstchin, where the jihadi Joes were going on the wrong way, and then they started shooting people. But then there's more to this, because here's the thing that's interesting about it. The accident, the fire department and the ambulances and the EMS were on the way, and then the head of the OSP, the Ohio State Patrol, put out information saying, you're not to go to the accident scenes until you're accompanied by heavily armed Ohio State Police or sheriff's deputies or local PD to assist you to get into the area. Now, that's interesting in and of itself. Then, after that, the honcho or the commander of the Ohio State Patrol called up to Wright-Patterson, apparently, Air Force Base, and asked for military help to contain the scene of the accidents, okay? There's plural, accidents. Well, that's quite interesting. And this was up by Middleton, Ohio. That's very interesting because apparently the OSP, honcho, told the guy at the base, you know, please, I don't care if he's at home or where he's at. You need to get in contact him immediately so he can authorize units, a number of units of military to come down from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base to contain the scene of the accidents, to contain the scene because of a possible high-level threat. And that was said. We don't know what that is, because normally a car wreck, even after a while, even if there's a fire or something there, or even hazmat, eventually the local TV news and reporters and stuff and radio and newspapers will get there and they'll report on the scene on the local TV. Well, eventually, after about an hour, these guys got it, but they were not allowed to get anywhere close to the accidents and had to go about, you know, two or three or maybe four interchanges farther down the road and then try to use long-range telephoto lenses to try to capture any of the action. But they never really got to show anything, and then the stuff is sketchy, other than it's an accident, a bad accident. And then the reportage, the reporting, has been curtailed and has been non-existent. I did search engines on Bing and looking for it in four or five different ways, and I could not find the stuff from a night or two ago. I find all kind of stuff from other old wrecks and all kind of reports over the years of wrecks in that area, but nothing on this. So therefore, why would Wright-Patterson have to come down to contain the scene? You know, Ohio State Police and that part of Ohio and Cincinnati and the counties, they have hazmat teams. They can handle the standard chemicals and that kind of stuff and have units of the fire departments that can handle that. So what might it have been? Was it possibly, and this is just Hawk speculating, but it's not a bad analysis when we put together the dots of all the things ongoing right now, all the things ongoing across the country right now and across the world and in Venezuela, in the Middle East, and all the different things to do with Red China, Iran, Russia, the whole bit. Was there a nuclear weapon on board of the box truck or on board of the semi that was then described later as a box truck to throw somebody off the scent? You know, they do transport nuclear devices, and recently the NetC network, which is independent people that have, let's just say radioactive detectors, Geiger counters and that kind of stuff in places, at roadways and in homes and in buildings and cities all over the United States, and they pick up possibly, you know, level 5, level 4, level 3, level 2, level 1 type threats of radiation, where the radiation level spikes from a baseline up to a higher level. It goes up to level 5. you've got quite a bit more radiation. And we've traced this in the past with the probability that nuclear transports were being taken place. Well, in this area, there's a lot of nuclear weapons are moving to various U.S. bases, okay? It could be a situation where somebody in the China Joe crowd or the old Obama crowd that gave everything to the Red Chinese. If you see a picture of the new Chinese stealth bomber, it actually is a composite of the old B-2, which Obama would have given him that stuff because Obama sold the Red Chinese, allegedly, all of the stealth technology of the day. But then since then, we have the B-21, and we've got some other stuff that is even more advanced, like pumpkin seeds, and you've got a new, more bat pumpkin seed-like shaped type B-21, B-2 variant. Now, for people who don't know, the B-2 has got a little bit of a will-be-was engine. Will-be-was, as in an exotic type thing that might be able to throw up a little bit of a cloak and also might have a little bit of anti-gravity to it to move it down the road a little quicker. You understand what I'm saying? So all that's in the Chinese box. You got all of the hypersonic missiles now. And Iran's got that technology, too. Russia's got a new 9,000-mile-per-hour missile. All kind of stuff they just tested. U.S. is testing theirs, of course, yes. But the United States, in response to this 3-4 weeks ago, bought the Iron Dome system, which we helped to finance, U.S. helped to finance, for Israel. But it was built by the Israeli companies and corporations with some help from Boeing and a few others, Lockheed maybe and what have you, but they also, the Pentagon bought that from Israel and brought it to Fort Bliss so that they can study it, do it, duplicate it, and get it up over certain areas, because we've always depended upon our ships and a few anti-missile batteries, but more so on our ships to hit ICBMs that are coming down over the pole or whatever to possibly take them out, okay? Or be fired from Vandenberg or from, Oceania or somewhere. You see what I'm saying? Or Hawaii. Well, anyway, there's a reason that the United States has bought the Iron Dome. Because other than a few batteries here and there, we never have had a anti-missile system over the United States. Because that was banned by the treaties with Russia. Meanwhile, Russia didn't give a hoot. And they put up their 300s or 400s and they have an S-500s all over Russia. S-400s and 500s to control 500 miles this way, 400 miles that way, to control their whole airspace. So the only thing that can catch them or get into them are TR-3Bs and spacecraft, okay, that can go whoosh and then appear and pop out of nowhere, fire, and then whoom, and then hit the button again, okay? Consequently, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this, I think, we're right prior to war because I see sabotage incidents. I would include in them a year or so ago, all of those structured and run, I maintain, out of the Chinese, the Red Chinese consulate in Houston, which President Trump closed. Did you see that also President Trump removed some top advisors to the Pentagon today? Henry Kissinger, Madeleine Albright, banned them from advising the Pentagon. What's Kissinger been doing? He's been advising leaving the Chinese alone and don't get involved with them and don't provoke them and don't do all that. Well, all that's fine and good because David Rockefeller, who was good old Heinz Kissinger's boss, who brought Heinz to the dance, he loved the Red Chinese, loaned them all kind of money, built all those cities that have no people because they figured they would take out Japan, you see. with the Fukushima, and then Japan would then be able to move some of their people over to China. That was their plan, you see. Or to just grow exponentially and have these new cities. And I remember back in 2003, 2004, I remember hearing somebody boast how he was on a banking deal that on an email that or on a posting on a website or a forum that he was part of the people that were loaning them all the money, okay? But old China Joe, you know, now in the catbird seat, but Trump got rid of Heinz Kissinger and Madeleine Albright, okay, today to advise the Pentagon. Getting real serious. So there is a strong possibility and a higher, much higher probability now of the United States going to war or other people going to war with us. Possibility that Israel hits Iran or possibility that Red China hits us first or Venezuela hits us with the Iranian missiles, you see. So this thing can go round robin. And I recall back in 2004 when Steve Quayle put me on the air for the first time, put me on as a guest. And he said, Hawk, you and I have been discussing over the emails back and forth and on the phone, and you seem to have a good handle, Hawk, on what's going to happen around the world. And you keep talking about Ezekiel 38, 39, and what will happen in a Gog-Magog war. And he and Steve and I went around the globe. We talked about every one of the sites, every one of the places we were discussing in 2004 and warning the United States military about, warning you out there to get prepared with food and water and NBC gear and firearms and ammunition and gold and silver and all kind of, heavy equipment that you might need in the future and tools and bug-out spots and underground, shelters in your basement that would be able to sustain, you know, fallout and all of that kind of thing. We've been doing it for years in order to try to, on behalf of the Lord Jesus, to warn you of what's getting ready to come. I started out with, you know, Ezekiel 38, 39, Matthew 24, the antidote to 24 is Matthew 25, to be prepared with the lamp oil and the wicks, you know, and the lamps. And I'm going to tell you, I've got, personally, I bought multiple lamps, and I bought enough oil in those lamps, two or three different ones, the Big Dietz, the Petromax, which is a German made, that silvery or goldy brass looking one, which you can also in that one use outdoors and burn unleaded fuel in it or anything in it. Not inside, but outdoors. So anyway, I had lamp oil and I calculated out the lamp oil stuff for 3.5 years. I actually did it for a year. Then I bought another, amount for another year, and this was years ago I did this. Did this in the 90s, okay? And I also then bought 120-hour candles for another year, 3 years of light, okay? And I know people say, well, do you think that Matthew 25 is really talking about a lantern? And I said, well, what does the Lord tell you? So I think, ladies and gentlemen, that you need to continue to prepare methodically and not get afraid, because I'm going to tell you something. The first antidote to your fear is to get on your knees, repent of your sins to Lord Jesus, and to ask him to come into your heart to be your Savior. That is the first preparation. When you do that, and he starts to wash you clean, and he knows you're sincere, and he knows and sees you trying to do better and to get better and to get into the Word more and to understand what he's trying to tell you and what's coming and how to prepare for it, then he's going to start to put you in positions and places to where you can get some stuff done. He'll increase your need, or he'll increase your ability to provide for yourself. the Lord Jesus wants you to endure till the end. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So that's why I've been doing this for 16 years. That's why Brother Quayle's been doing it, I think, probably close to 30. All right? So here we've got these saboteur-type events. We also had a week or so ago, I told you to watch out in the New Orleans area and that area and the Gulf Coast, any kind of a thing to do with oil, chemical plants, train routes that might have tanker trucks on it, tank farms, pipeline junctures and pipeline pumping stations and all of that kind of stuff. And sure as shooting, those Google balloons were right over that area, and that's why I was warning you, the Chinese command and control balloon. And then when we broadcast the information out, that thing went boop, 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 went out into the Gulf in the international waters. And then since then, we've tried to get them out of this country, and for the most part, they have been and have not been inside because a couple of them got shut down, I allege. You ain't going to find it in the newspaper, so don't mind. Don't try checking. But they took one out in Nevada, took one out over the Navajo Nation there in New Mexico, Arizona, kind of a border area. Because they are what I believe I say they are in terms of what I'm alleging based on my analysis and opinion. Hawk doesn't say he guarantees. I just think they are because of what they're doing. And then I observe the effect that when you make them famous, what they do. Consequently, this is also an area off where this signal, this it's kind of a weird War of the Worlds Martian spaceship signal. And that's just a weird approximation of it. But all that stuff is coming from the South Atlantic, Caribbean, Gulf of Mexico kind of area. Well, that's very near to Cuba and those things. And that's also the pathway down to Venezuela, is it not? That ships, if they were coming, U.S. ships from Virginia or South Carolina or Maryland or from Maine or Massachusetts going on down there, to head down there instead of heading to the Mediterranean, and also any aircraft heading down there, that the Red Chinese could know what's up about it. And then let's say that this is all the signals and the orders being transmitted in code, not only on the weird signal with the 16 channels, but also on the burst transmission to where you have to have the right radio, and then when it comes in, you can receive the signal, then you can decode it. So I think all those guys at the back tables in the Red Chinese restaurants and all the diplomats and the so-called Red Chinese graduate students and diplomats and business traveler, you know, all those people, I think are getting their orders and possibly timing cues into what to look for that at a certain stated time or place or on a certain signal or a big event that happens, they're supposed to execute their plans in the local areas and to take out bridges, let's say, to take out tank farms, to take out railroad tracks in Texas, to take out anhydrous ammonia plants, to take out refineries, take out pipelines that ship gasoline or natural gas or diesel fuel or whatever north from the Gulf Coast, you see, that then provides gasoline all over the United States. Or maybe they hit nuclear power plants like in New Jersey or New York, New Jersey area, or the Exxon refinery up there, or this one, that one, the other one in California, because they don't have many. Are they already in the process of trying to shut down the Keystone Pipeline and China Joe and Commissar Kamala? Want to shut down all the fracking and the Keystone Pipelines and all that stuff? You also got the ones coming down from Canada into Michigan and all of that. So these are the kind of targets. Also food warehouses, food production facilities, grain elevators, trains full of wheat, you see, all these different things can be blown up or derailed like they were doing a few years back. And that one, I guarantee you, was the Spetsnaz, the Russian Spetsnaz, who are still here as well. But over the years, I've also tracked, you remember, we had Red Chinese, a whole lot of them out there, and I believe it was in Montana. Seems like it was in Helena, or, you know, or Helena, or whatever that out there. Or maybe another one. I'd have to look it up on the map. But as I recall, I remember somebody close to Steve Quayle told me that he saw and heard from up in there that the Red Chinese were wearing jeans and cowboy boots and had cowboy hats and that kind of stuff and had big wads of money, of $100 bills, in their pocket. They're coming to town to buy knives and guns and ammo and all kind of stuff, and to party it up and all of that. So all of that stuff is sitting there ready and waiting. Plus, you got, you know, approximately 120 to 200,000 Mexican cartel soldados inside in Estados Unidos working for the various cartels who are in league with the Red Chinese and the Iranians and the Russians and all of them. I can remember when Xi Jinping, when he wasn't even the head guy in China, I remember hearing a speech of him where he spoke in Spanish, by the way, but then I was hearing it, part of it, in an English translation, where he basically said to the top guys in Mexico, the 36 familias, or maybe it's 33 familias, or 36, 33 families. He was telling them and the Mexican military honchos and the cartel honchos, he's saying, aren't you tired of the Yankee telling you what to do? You can come with us and we won't tell you what to do. We'll just do business. So then after that, the Puerto Lazaro Cadenas became a Red Chinese shipping port or heavily involved in it. And then the railroad, the old railroad that all the guys and gals trying to come up north in the United States ride that railroad. Well, that basically becomes the old Kansas City Southern that comes right on up, right alongside I-35 and comes up into south of Kansas City and Belton, Missouri. And that railroad is supposed to be, along with I-35, supposed to be the international highway or corridor, remember, with the tax-free stuff, and we're going to run those all the way up and make these big roads and all that. Well, the Chinese are involved in all that crap. New World Order. That's what Biden and all these people are talking about. The Great Reset. They're trying to starve you out right now. I also, just to remind you, I'm just so I can tell you what I've tried to tell you over the years. This was from a Hawk Talon. January 12, 2010, new executive order signed by Obama effectively creates a structure of military governors for martial law. One must read this closely, but when it dawns on you that the 10 governors, not 50, to be appointed by the president will perhaps soon correspond to 10 FEMA regions and effectively will be the under the Secretary of Defense. So the governors will work for the Secretary of Defense and hence the president in a system of regional military governors over all states, not just the states they might be from. And you might just experience a chill up your spine and note that then all states, in essence, have been taken over, at least on paper, by the president, will be administered militarily. And then I'll tell you what. Then executive order was January 11th, 2010, the White House Office of the Press Secretary, establishment of the Council of Governors, okay? And that right there is no joke. And then they're talking about the CDC is now talking about, what are they calling in other places, green zones, where we're going to protect the most vulnerable, you know? And all of that kind of stuff, anybody over 65. And we're going to keep them with comorbidities. prevent them from being around their families, prevent them from being around their caretakers or whatever, or their younger people, you see, and then put them in a specialized, very secure facility. Put them in a concentration camp or a medical gulag, okay? Why? Because if you're over 65, you had some of the last good educations in the United States. Not the best ones, but some of the last good ones. Because since then, the education has been lacking. And the history has been lacking. And they have United Nations rather than Constitution tests. You learn how to become a good United Nations citizen and all this kind of crap. And then the UN is doing what? They're hiring contact agenteurs. Oh, no, they're people to help you in case you have off think. You just are a little, little tingly in the brain and you don't think so good because you're not for, total new world order, digital currency, everybody has the same income, except for the elite who take on the burden of managing the system for you. And then you have to love gay marriage and you have to love pedophilia and all this stuff that all this elite scumbag, Illuminati, Luciferian scum seem to be involved in. Well, I say, no way, Jose. I say we ain't going to comply, and I'm going to tell you. I read to you that old Declaration of Independence, and let's ask a question at this point here. Why would the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court side with those who would deny the Second or the First Amendment right to religious freedom in the Constitution and is voting with the three others when there are five people, a 5-4 decision to invalidate the unconstitutional, tyrannical executive order of Cuomo to prevent people from going to church, synagogue, mosque, or whatever? Congress shall make no law. This is for you, Chief Justice Roberts, you piece of scum. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. And then also, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Okay? Go read the amendments, the 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights. Why don't you read those to your children tonight? And while I'm at it, you want to keep old Hawk on the air, and I hope you do. Because I'm going to tell you, this thing is getting ready to go wild weasel. And I mean for real, Casey Jones driving the trains to Function Junction. Anything is most needed and wanted. Federal Reserve notes, piece of metal, silver, gold, best check, no problem. Send it to Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. And a hello out there to the Buffalo gals and to all the good people. And to my good friend, Merle, who was a listener for over the years, he's passed on to go with the Lord Jesus. Merle from Nebraska and his wife, stalwart, top-notch people for the Lord, and Merle has gone on. And I'm going to say this, Merle has no more pain. Merle has no more travail or anything, and may the Lord Jesus bless and protect his wife and to give her superabundance and all she needs and wants, and to then also give her true sanctuary, because Merle now is gone on to where he is going to be in the hands of the Lord with no pain and looking good and feeling good. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd also like to call your attention tonight. There's a lady, I will just say, let me get the right word. I think maybe is called Audrey. Lord Jesus, will you go and touch her right now? Will you uplift her in her spirit? Will you give her strength and will? And will you give her rest in her mind? And will you tell her that it is you that she is meant to lift up and exalt, and that she will be taken care of in all her needs, and that she has not been slighted, but has maybe seen a situation to where she is best off not being where she thought she was going to be, and to give strength to her whole family, and let you know that there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And let me tell you something. When you know where you're going to go, you do not fear what is out here now. You can have a little bit, but you know if you're going to go to heaven and be with Lord Jesus that you're not going to have a problem. You can stand against evil. You can stand up and say, I'm not going to let them get me down. I'm not going to let them take me down. I'm not going to comply with their crap. And you go ahead and make your own way in the way of the Lord Jesus and our Father in heaven. Road and track, if you're out there, boys, do your lessons. Do your lessons. Don't go into their Luciferian attack. Iranians or anybody who's going to come against the United States of America. Bandanga Rangers, I know you're ready. And Mickey Lapua, buddy, I know you're ready to roll. Keep your eye on the optics, man. Road and track. Do a little punching on the old bag. Good night.